You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
There we go.
Oh, that is a good welcome sign. All right, well, thank you for joining us, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show, Breaking Bad Season 5, the premiere episode, Live Free or Die. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined on the panel by co-creator of AfterBuzz, Kevin Undergaro.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And the executive producer of AfterBuzz TV, Bill Svitek.
Welcome, welcome, that's me.
And also joined by our lovely and talented Christy Snyder.
What's up, guys?
And our engineer in the booth who doesn't want to see any of the show because he hasn't seen it yet is Ben Bottomley.
I am blocking the screen because I have not seen the episode.
Ben, we're just going to ruin everything for you.
No,
right,
that's
now.
Okay.
Don't care.
Okay,
we have
a great rundown today. We've got a very special segment. Stuart Lyons, who's producer of Breaking Bad, is going to be joining us by phone later in the show. We're really, really excited about that. Happy to have him with us. The rundown for today's after show, we've got Damage Control by Walt and Jess and Mike making an appearance. We got Skye's, well, she gets a very special surprise from Ted. And I want to start with Hank's back. First of all, I was just so excited to see it. How did you guys feel? I was really anticipating this. I sat down and I was just really excited. I'm going, oh, this is going to be terrific. It didn't, were you guys feeling the same way?
With just Hank or just in general?
Just the whole thing, the whole show.
Oh, I'm just beside
myself.
It's
been a long hiatus for me.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't waste any time, though, in this show. I mean, he's back on his feet. He's already in the meth lab. Exploring what's left of it anyway.
Oh, Hank. Yeah, we're talking about Hank. But just quick, overall.
These are just for general thoughts.
Yeah,
just
general thoughts overall.
Kristen's with Game of Thrones, yeah, John, so like they do things a little differently.
Yeah,
on that
clearly.
Show.
So, the Breaking Bad approach.
I'm on the pace of Breaking Bad. We just get to the point in that show.
We go right to it.
Well, go ahead.
Please.
I was just so thankful that it was coming back. I'd been doing Mad Men recently, just a couple of weeks hiatus, and I've been dying for this to come back because I just really want to know how. I think the way they tell stories on the show is.
Here's what I'm going to tease with Stu, and I want to learn more from him, so remind me if I forget. The DP, Michael Slavis.
Yes.
He's now directing episodes, and they have a new DP.
Yeah. He didn't direct this one, but he is directing.
He did direct this one.
Michael Slavis?
Yeah, the old director of photography
cinematographer,
what do you want to call him? He directed this episode, they have a new cinematographer on board.
Right on. But still keeping the aesthetic, because we were actually pointing out that they have those great wides. And then cutting it.
It's great composition. Not a lot of camera movement, but great composition of the actors within the frame.
And just letting it play.
Letting it play.
And not doing a lot of intercutting, which is
they can do
fun.
The wider shots because Albuquerque is so beautiful. It's like an old Western.
Yes.
And they do find like the most colorful and interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I was listening to the other day. They say they write the scripts thin.
Yeah.
Like it's usually per minute of screen time is a page of... of screenplay, and they say they write it specifically thin so that the director can go off on visual shots and all that.
And they do take their time, which is great.
And when you say thin, Phil, is
thin as in like let's say
but the dialogue is it the dialogue specific or is it the actors improvise?
It's the dialogue's always very specific. Mm-hmm. That everyone has kind of been consistent. That doesn't change. But in terms of like they don't put a lot of action. It wouldn't be like even though everything plays slow, it wouldn't be like John walks slowly step by step by step. You know, it would just be John goes to get a cup of water. There and then how you shoot that is up to you.
And they let it breathe. So it's almost like there's a couple pages short that would normally be. Go ahead, Ben.
There's little to no improvisation in this. Like, they've all said that it's like 99% of the dialogue is in the script. Like,
good.
Jesse has said every single yo and bitch, that's all in the script.
It's all written down.
Yeah, every single one is on the page. Bitch.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, let's
and
point that out.
Some,
yeah, Ben, show them.
Some of the blue here right here.
In honor of Breaking Bad, we have some of our...
From our Benjineer bringing us some...
99%
our cook. He's our cook.
Okay, so wait. So if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see. This is 98% pure,
99.
Ben?
I don't get the cheap stuff.
99% pure. We're all here with little bags of rock just to get the episode started.
And I can assure you, it's tight, tight, tight.
It's tight. It's going to be a great season, people.
All right, let's get into this. Let's talk about Hank. You know, because it was so good to see Hank out of the wheelchair, out of the bed. He's got, you know, he's on the crutch. And, you know, just let's, you know, the hours earlier, he's wheeling around in the chair. So he really wants to get back into action there.
He's dressed completely in white.
Except the one thing of duct tape down
coming
the
down
center.
There. You know, it's just because I think, I know, I'd like to think it's because he's...
he's the hero?
Absolutely the hero, but then the duct tape is that he's just a little off.
Yeah.
He's not quite... there
he's not
yet.
Pure white. He's got some gray streak in
he's
him.
He's got
too.
Some gray in it. That's right. Yeah. That's probably more what it is. I was thinking more a little faulty, but I think the fault speaks to the fact that, you know, maybe he will.
And he's had a gray area throughout. There's a couple, you know, he's rough on the edges and he'll bend the law. He's not pure.
I mean, I've always wondered, speculated to myself if this doesn't all end up with him kind of giving Walt a break and him working with Walt.
Well, yeah, you know, we've always, that or they're going to be, you know,
face off.
Exactly.
Between Hank and Walt.
But I think you're going to get the face off, but I almost feel it's the Captain Hook. The Captain Hook ending, John. Do you remember the end of Captain Hook?
Yeah.
Where the kid and him were at odds, and they had their face off, and then ironically, it was the kid saving Captain Hook from the Royal Navy. So it's like I almost wonder if it's going to end up that way.
I don't know, but I can't wait to find that out.
It's definitely going to be a hunt.
I hope we don't find out for another 8 years.
And how good is he? I mean, as soon as he's walking... By the way, I thought the new quote, lab, the meth lab, which is now gutted and burned beyond and all kinds of things happened to it. How good is he just to know? I mean, as soon as he was looking up, I go, he's got to be seeing
And what
cameras.
A great shot when he looked up at that camera.
Yeah. Oh, the way that power shot, that dolly shot around him.
Around him, and just as he's looking up, pow.
Yeah.
But I think, for me, that goes to show that he also knew Gus.
Yeah.
You know
he
what I mean?
Knew.
Mm-hmm. It's the same, you know, you kind of know your enemies. And so Walt and Gus were kind of one and the same. Now Walt and Hank are one and the same. And there's that old movie, you guys remember it, Double Indemnity.
Sure.
Where the reason why you couldn't catch someone was because they were right underneath your nose. And I think that's what we're going to see with Hank and Walt.
Yeah, it's happening more and more. It's getting closer and closer. And what a great editing job. Okay, when, you know, I know this is jumping ahead, but Walt, Jesse, and Mike were talking, finally getting together. Hey, look, they have cameras, and they've got to be on a hard drive somewhere. Cut to, we see the laptop, and we're all waiting. We're going, it's got to, and then the reveal is that it is Hank who has it. Step ahead.
Right, one step ahead. And all the photo snapping during it, you know? Just slowly and patiently.
Building.
Just great filmmaking. All through that scene, just...
Tense.
And how about the partner... being kind of like, oh, yeah, come on, man. You can rag on me now. I told you so. And you know what? Hank is all business.
Yeah, he's not.
He's so focused.
Yeah, which is, you know, and he's usually a cut-up, too.
Usually,
but not on this.
Nope.
No, he really, he's got it under his skin.
Well, you know, it's a huge transition. Like, if you guys remember him from season 4 beginning, like, he had no motivation to do anything.
Yeah, he was completely in the doldrums, man. The guy wanted to be done.
He was the funny man. And this season, it looks like Mike's going to be the funny man and not Hank.
Yeah, well, Mike's always had great lines. Yeah, but it's good to see Hank back. I think that's going to be a great foil for Walt because he's always going to be nipping. Because now that he has it under his skin, he's not going to let go. He's like the bulldog. He's not going to let this go.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always going to be nipping at his heels.
It's just going to be a chess match back and forth.
So that's going to be exciting to see how that plays out. Those guys are, by the way... wonderful the way those guys act together are great because they've created such a great camaraderie, a good friendship between the brothers-in-law. But now, you know, how is that going to play out once he realizes what's real? Because you know Hank's going to figure some of this out.
Yeah.
So that's going to be sticky.
So, but anyway, I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed seeing Hank back, because I know that's going to play out really well in this.
I'm enjoying, speaking of Hank back, we're getting Dean Norris soon.
Yes.
So Dean Norris, that's right. You know,
yeah, we are getting We're getting Dean Norris. We're getting
RJ
Betsy.
RJ Mitty will be here. Betsy Brandt will join.
We're gonna pace them out. I mean, I know we have 8 episodes this season, so we're gonna double book, and we're gonna try to get the whole. We're gonna try to have at least one guest per show, and so.
And super fan Maria Menounos will be in to host. She's in Dallas this week interviewing Mel Gibson. It's interesting. But next week she's going to be in, and we're going to get all these other stars of the show, which is going to be fantastic.
It's going to be fun.
All right. So speaking of good shows, where do you find good shows and where do you buy them, Phil?
You must be, of course, talking about Amazon.
I am.
Well, guys, for those of you who are returning fans, and for those of you who are new fans as well, we're part of an Amazon affiliate program. And what that literally means is, if you're shopping on Amazon, it could be for anything. It could be movies, cell phones, I don't care. You insert whatever you want to buy.
Sulfuric acid to dissolve bodies.
There you go. Instead of
hexafaline to make crack. Go ahead. Sorry.
We'll give you the instructional ingredients later. But anyway, regardless of whatever it is you're buying, instead of going to Amazon directly, go to AfterBuzzTV.com first. There you'll find an Amazon banner. Click through that. And I've seen tweets where they're like, wow, your Amazon site looks exactly like Amazon. It's the real
Amazon.
It is Amazon. Yes. It is Amazon. And so whatever you purchase there is the same price as it always would be, except we get a percentage of that sale. And it keeps us doing great things. And again, keeps the lights on. I like to look at it as like it keeps us here. It allows us to do more. Again, we're getting we're getting a lot of the guests, so things like that. And that's able to happen because you guys contribute by going to AfterBuzzTV.com first when you guys are making Amazon purchases.
All right, let's get into our next topic. Sky, I really enjoyed the whole Ted story.
You know what I wrote down? I wrote more collateral damage.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen the plane crash.
It just doesn't
with
stop.
167
yeah.
people. Jane, yeah. Combo, Brock, Hank.
Yeah. But this one was, it was an act of God. It wasn't an act of God.
Well, here's the thing about that is and I'm going to speak to it a little bit more when we get to Walt, but that was a real important line, act of God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of symbolism there about God and playing God and feeling like you're God. But it was interesting to see Skyler scared of Walt.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared of you.
Yep.
But then her reaction is great actress,
her
by the
turn.
Way, right?
Yeah, Anna
so
Gunn.
So her Anna Gunn's reaction to Ted.
Yeah.
And then what it leads to.
Yeah.
Her last bit. So, John, just go into that.
This is why I thought I wanted to talk about this. Because I thought that turn was amazing. You could see, and she played it so it was all in her face, and she just let it happen, and that was great. So, anyway, the part that I wanted to speak to, in the beginning, when we see her on the phone, she's, was this you? She doesn't even know how much Walt's done, and right. did mm-hmm. he cause the bomb at the Shadylands, whatever, retirement home, whatever the heck it is. And then that progression, just in one particular episode, to go from that, not sure, but knowing that something's bad going on, because Walt, when he was talking to her, it was almost like they're in the bedroom, he's going, a sense of relief. It's almost like he wanted a sense of appreciation for what he's done. He's saved the family.
We'll get into that with Walt.
I know, but he was looking for that.
Talk more about her.
But she doesn't even have that. All she's thinking is relief. She's just so thankful that she can breathe now.
Right.
And then to have the Ted thing happen, and when you go into that hospital, she feels, you can see all the guilt and shame on her face for what she's done to him. Or
the horror and the great reveal of him bald.
And the headgear and... and looking like Walt did the first season one, if you remember the big, not the headgear, but the bald head and everything like that. But to see her, and I thought it was so great, when it was just happening and he was saying, I won't say anything, I won't say, I won't breathe a word of this. I'm going, please, please. I was thinking to myself, I'm going, Anna, I was saying, Skyler, please say just good. I just say something like, you better not. And she did. She did. I couldn't believe that
it was,
turn.
You're right. The turn to just gangster bitch Barbie.
Because she just so... Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you love the fact that she stepped up for, because
well,
remember she wasn't. Mm-hmm. But now she has, what an amazing presence of mind to be able to do that. Because she went in there guilt-ridden.
Right.
Ready to apologize. and you know, started to, and then he says that whole thing, and then no, okay, right, that's right.
It just shows.
Oh man,
that she has it in her too.
Yeah, what a great scene for her to play.
Yep.
I mean, if I was reading that on the actor, I'm going, I'd be giddy to be able to do that. But anyway, did you? And then at the end, totally freaked out and frightened by her husband.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they've had such an awkward relationship for the last couple of seasons anyway, really tense. And then the hug and the I forgive you and the look on her face, like, holy crap.
Right.
She's realizing the monster that she sleeps beside at night and his capabilities.
Yeah.
And her hoping that he doesn't.
And
that he'll listen when she says he won't say anything.
Exactly.
I believe our caller is on the line right now.
Oh.
Hello.
You have a caller coming in.
Hi, guys.
We know
Simone.
Who the caller is.
So why don't you introduce?
Simone, she was at Comic-Con this weekend and actually got to interview the cast, so she was going to bring us some news.
So what do you got for us, Simone? You're at Comic-Con.
Well, there is so much to share, you guys. I am obviously so excited to have this show back on TV, but let me start with some of my favorite things that I got to talk to them about. In the second episode of this season, there's a very good chance that the White family is going on a family trip to Germany. Apparently, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that already, so forgive me if you guys
are
already.
No, we're not.
No, we didn't know that. I didn't see anything
They've
about
said
that.
You're going to be reading a lot more German subtitles than Spanish this year.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently. I talked to RJ Mitty, and he said that that family trips are fun. That's all he could give me, and the rest of the cast was pretty tight-lipped about what exactly is going to go down in Germany, but that's going to be pretty interesting. Also, I spoke to Dean Norris, and I asked him whether or not Hank is going to find out about the Heisenberg-Walt connection, and he did confirm yes. He said that that is a conflict that the writers have been building up and building up for so long, so they're definitely going to deliver on that. But we don't know when or how, of course. So I'm pretty excited to see that sort of come to fruition. What else?
Did they discuss Simone, Kevin Undergaro here. Simone, did they discuss going beyond? Well, there's rumors that I've heard through our agencies, where you have the same agents. Is there a? Did they discuss the fact of going past these 16 episodes?
Going past the 16 episodes.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't talk to them about that. I do know. From what I know, season 5 is going to be split into two parts, and they've shot the first half, which is airing right now, obviously, and then they're going back to shoot the second half. But the vibe I got from the actors and the writers is that a lot is still left to be figured out. The writers don't even know how the show is going to end, or at least that's what they told me. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do go past the 16th.
Well, I really hope so.
So and how was the whole thing received at Comic-Con?
How was the whole Comic-Con experience?
Yeah, well, I mean, how was Breaking Bad received by the Comic-Con crew?
It was amazing. I mean, just honestly, the chance to get to talk to Bryan Cranston, who I think is one of the most brilliant actors today, was just a thrill for me. And it was really cool because the cast was so gracious, and you could just tell they're so excited to be there and love talking to us. So it was amazing.
All right, very good. And whatever you're doing with your phone, you keep going. You're going in and out, Simone. What are you doing right now? are you cooking meth? Are you cooking meth?
Am I cooking?
Yes.
Are you manufacturing crystallized methamphetamine?
There you go.
Oh, no, I am not. I'm not on the Heisenberg.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Simone.
Wow.
Bye, guys. Have fun.
Bye.
So, Phil, what's up with iTunes?
What's up with iTunes?
Yes.
Well, iTunes is a cool thing.
Okay.
Well, here's why. We're obviously on it. And so one of the things that we hear at AfterBuzz, one of the reasons why we've been successful is because you guys rate and comment on a lot of the shows. And by rating and commenting, what that does is allows us to have higher visibility on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And again, we like you guys, we want to make things cool. Right? You right. left.
That's
but yes.
it.
No, and so, cool. you know, why not? You guys are part of the forefront of this. And so you guys get to be the cool guys that review and rate us and therefore spread the word. The other way to spread the word is to tell a friend. And we've by design not done PR on our side because we know results are actually better when we ask you guys to tell a friend. And because you guys actually follow through on that, we continue to get more and more downloads. We're doing an official stat check, but Kev, you agree it's at least 3 million right now a week.
3 million a week from over 75 countries. And, you know, again, all of us, there's about 200 hosts here. Everyone works so hard and volunteers their time. And, you know, we do it all for free. We ask very little of you guys. You know, if you make an Amazon purchase, we ask you to go to the site. But if you'd be so kind as to go to the iTunes page for us in return and rate and comment on us, it helps our placement on the iTunes homepage. If you notice now, there's 3 or 4 AfterBuzz shows on the iTunes homepage. And this is directly because of you guys. You guys taking the time to rate and comment on our shows or on the shows you're listening to. Yeah. And every bit helps. If you just could do that for us and tell friends about us, we're just so appreciative, and we can continue to you know, bring you these shows and then bring you other new shows. You know, it's our other thing we always hear. Why don't you do Homeland? Why don't you do this show? Why don't you do that show? Well,
Teen Wolf, yeah. Somebody new coming in.
Right, and we just don't have, you know, even with 200 people, we don't have even the infrastructure, but we can get it if we continue to get more eyes and ears on us. So
right now we've got 200 people, 2 studios, around anywhere between 35 to 45 shows a week. Mm-hmm. And we can only increase that number with your guys'
with
help.
With your help.
Okay. So. And you guys can go do that while you're buying episodes of Breaking Bad.
There you go.
Because you might have Dish like me. And yeah.
So
I'm going to be buying every episode.
Sad Benjineer. Yep. Sad Benjineer. Yep. So anyway, thank you for all those people who have rated and commented. Keep them coming. We appreciate that so much. It's very helpful, and it's good for us to pay attention to all that and listen to and take your advice and comments. So we thank you. Listen, we got to talk about damage control. This was, I thought...
I'm dying to talk about
it. Here we go.
Walt.
Let's get into that, because this is the meat of the show, is Walt and his... let's talk about the opening, where the bacon and the eggs, and I'm watching this and I'm going, I'm still struggling because I really paid more attention to everything afterwards, and this was almost like an afterthought. I didn't even piece it in with the rest of it. What were your guys' reactions to that? I'm still going, oh shoot, that's right. I didn't really put that into the context of the show.
Wait, so I'm put down. I mean. Before the plate goes down, there's a placard that says Rethinking Refreshment.
Yeah.
So whatever that means.
Yeah.
And obviously the hair's grown out. It says to me, wow, he's actually surviving with cancer.
Yeah.
Because to grow out a beard and hair that long says he's taking medication.
Yeah.
So God only knows like what he's taking.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do know with cancer, even lung cancer now, you know, my dad died from it 15 years ago, and at that time, you just got blasted with chemo and radiation.
Yeah, and they just kill everything.
It would go away. Exactly. They would come back within months. They'd blast it again. They would come back even faster. Mm-hmm. And then by then, usually the body wouldn't be strong enough to take another blast of the crap. Yeah. What they do now is they give you smaller doses. No, they were targeting back then, but they would blast you. What they've learned now is rather than kill all of it, they just give you a lower dose, and they're doing it like that. And so what's happening is instead of getting like, my dad got 1.5 years, which they say was a miracle. He's only supposed to get a couple of years. But now that 1.5 years could become 3 years or 4 years. So, you know, it seems to go hand in hand. But that's what I thought of when I saw him. I was like, wow, he's...
So how far away do you think that was?
Hair to have... I don't know how long it takes to grow a beard and your hair that long.
You've had chemo and stuff. Go ahead.
Well, you're talking about how long time-wise in the show? Well, look at it now. I mean, time progresses really, really slow in there. Mm-hmm. So how old is he now? Like 51? So to 52.
Well, would you think it's a year? That's what your question is, John,
yeah,
right?
So how far in the future was that? Because
I would think at least 1.5 years to have that much hair.
Okay. He's been 50 for the whole series, so he's probably around 51 and a half.
But John's question is not his age.
That's what I'm trying to use that as its determining factor for, you know, that time. And so I would say at least a year
ahead, a year and a half ahead?
I would say at least a year, probably a year and a half.
Right.
All right.
That's what I think, too.
It can't be too much longer than that.
I know.
The doctor said you got a couple years at most.
That's right. So, and then there's the whole thing with the bacon It's like,
what was the symbol, John? Was that a chemical
symbol?
I'm
not sure. The drinking of the bacon. That's why I really struggled to put it in context.
Was he making a birthday cake? Didn't he say it was his birthday?
Rethinking refreshment, and then, you know, I thought the
he
bacon...
He brings home the bacon?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm asking. I don't know. It didn't resemble
a chemical symbol. I mean...
No, well, I was wondering, was he trying to make... Because he said it was his birthday. I don't know if it was his birthday, but was he trying to make a number? I mean, it was almost like it was a five. And again,
to our listeners,
yeah,
we go up 2 minutes after we see the show. Yeah. So, you know, all the other like people that have two or three days to do research, whatever, might have the answer. Yeah.
We just finished watching it. It's just coming up.
I haven't
seen the episode yet, but the first shot of the show, I mean, you know, obviously there's the pants, but the first time you see them, you see a plate of bacon.
Yeah, that's what we're talking
about. This is the 50.
That's what I thought it was.
So it says the number 50.
Yeah,
so he just
turned
50.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. It was his birthday.
I haven't seen it, but maybe he's doing the same.
Well, that's what I was alluding to, is that it looked like numbers. It looked like it was his birthday. It was his 50. But with bacon, I thought it was hysterical because he's dying and you're not supposed to have that much bacon.
Right.
You know, it's
like
he doesn't care. Everything he refreshes.
He wasn't eating it, though. I
know, but I thought that was the symbolism of it.
Definitely. They don't mess around. There's always a purpose to this. And it was so much audio of her talking and not seeing her and just being on him.
And we didn't see him for a long time. We just saw the plate. We saw the guy next to him. We saw him. And then finally the reveal with the hair. It's like, whoa.
New Hampshire, Swampscott. I know that whole area. It's
funny. And the whole thing about Live Free or Die, of course, that's the title of the show. And, you know, that's this whole thing is that he's past the point where all he wants to do is live free. He's pretty much, I'm going to live free or I'm going to die.
Right.
That's it.
I think that's it.
And the whole thing, you know, Vince Gilligan has already said this season is all about, especially these first eight episodes, is all about answering the question, what does it take to stay on top? And I think that, to me, was speaking to that, is I'm going to either live free or I'm going to die trying. Or die in the process, I guess.
How about him giving her the C note, the $100?
Yeah, there's the honey, exactly. You know, I thought was great. And then, of course,
What was that? Was that?
I think it's because he's a guy who never had money to spend. Mm-hmm. And now he has money to burn, so to speak, and he pays $100 for a free breakfast
because
it was his birthday,
right?
Yeah. Not say for a free breakfast. Yeah, here's a honey. But I don't think he did it with that kind of flippant attitude. It's just that he has the money now.
Don't you think a little of it was to do something nice for the girl?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But the fact that he has money to do that,
yes,
and he wouldn't before and couldn't do it before, now he can.
Here's what's interesting: he could take that. There's people that would be greedy and take that money for their own pleasure. It's interesting. I took it as that's probably guilt money.
Could be, absolutely. I think that's partly in there too, and also partly because he still has. I mean, if we remember Walt from the beginning, first season, he still is that good guy. He still has a remnant of that guy still there.
He's abused so many
absolutely.
Of our sympathies
But listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a remnant of that guy still there.
There is a remnant, and if you rewatch last season, I was telling you this before, John, early in the week. It was great to watch last season because I know a lot of the fans had thought Walter was just pure evil. He's not, because when you see how he reacts about Hank almost being killed, he's like, please don't kill him. He's telling Gus, please don't kill my brother-in-law. Please.
Yeah.
And by the way, if he was that evil, kill a brother-in-law.
Exactly.
His life is easier. And so that's why, it's still there.
It's a much better show if he isn't all evil. There's much more conflict,
absolutely,
internal conflict.
That.
So that's what I'm speaking to specifically. And I also like the shot when he goes out to the parking lot. First, I thought it was great that he goes to the parking lot. It looks like it's a caddy. That's the car because he's a drug lord. Mm-hmm, he gets a caddy. But they open the trunk, and that's a great upshot at him. You got the barrel of the assault rifle. Yeah, just in the corner, a dirty lens there, and then shooting up at him, I thought was great.
Well, they comment on it, the fact that how many shots have we seen like that in the show?
Yeah.
And yet it's always surprising because, again, as they're always looking down into it, you never know what's going to be there, and it could be the most horrifying thing, and it always works out.
Exactly.
To the story.
And I think that, for me, that shot of that rifle, that's what this particular eight episodes is about. How far is this guy willing to go? Because now it's going to get bloody.
And by the way,
stay on top.
The same actor, he's been in Deadwood and other shows. Remember he got him the Saturday Night Special?
Yeah.
He's back to sell him another gun.
Because, I mean, you know, up until this last, well, I should say the finale of last season, people have died around him, but he hasn't really been directly involved in the killing so much.
Right.
But this, except for the last season, the last episode where he shot those two guys,
right.
Well, he hasn't had blood directly on him.
He killed Crazy 8 in season 1.
Right. I beg your pardon. I forgot. So there's a couple times that. But what I'm saying is it's going to raise... The stakes are raised. It's an assault weapon.
There's only one reason
why you get it.
It's a New Hampshire. That's a serious gun.
Yeah.
Serious
gun.
The military uses those in Vietnam.
And it's not leaving the state, he said.
Right.
Yeah, he gave us that clue. He told assuming he's telling the truth.
So I stand. Thank you for correcting me on that. He has blood on his hands. But that was, for me, the direct result with the gun was those two guys. And then now we've gone from a gun, a snub-nosed five-shooter, to an assault weapon. So this will be interesting. So
to a light machine gun.
Exactly.
Goodness only knows this. Does this get resolved at the end of episode 8?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is it because in the way that he's like Gus knew to get his hands dirty when he needed to, right? He killed off his lackey at the beginning of the last season.
Box cutter.
But it was also his demise when he couldn't separate emotion from, all right, I'm going to do this, and obviously that led to his death.
Right.
Is this the imminent doom of Walt? Because
I think
it becomes emotional and has to...
Well, where has he become emotional?
Well, we don't know what he's doing. He hasn't been emotional yet.
That's the whole point. Gus wasn't either up until the very end.
Because so cold and so calculating with the Lily of the Valley thing. And so, I mean...
If I were to guess, the writers probably will make him emotional. It might be trying to save the family or something.
Because he's so great as an actor, too, when he gets that emotional. You can see all that stuff. But he's wonderful to watch when he's just thinking.
But I still think that ultimately there'll be an ironic ending. Yeah. I've always said it's going to be an ironic twist. Yeah. It's not going to go the way you think.
I don't think that he has to die in the end, but I think he has to end up alone. Maybe out in the woods in a cabin.
Very interesting you say that, because I've been saving that part. You know, when you see the birthday celebration, this is how he celebrates his birthday.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
the fake ID.
And Mr. Lambert.
So jumping ahead, though, he as he's dumping the evidence. By the way, the music's great.
Oh,
music.
It's like a movie score.
That's right.
He finally gets to rest.
Rest.
Celebrate. Oh shit! No,
about to celebrate. Yeah. He brings out a pretty expensive bottle. It looked like scotch. He makes his
cognac,
little drink, right?
Was,
and it's like, pause. The music stops. Has to go do something. Yeah. Okay. Then once again, music starts again.
Yeah, exactly.
The music stops. He's getting rid of the Jesse plant.
Yeah,
plant that poisoned the kid, and. Then when everything happens with Skyler and...
But he doesn't even get to drink, remember?
That's my point, John. That's my point. There is no celebration.
No.
And notice who's getting the accolades. Uncle Hank,
because he's still a hero.
And I want... Right. And that look he gave Walt Jr. when he was like, it's Uncle Hank. He's even a bigger hero now.
Yeah.
Did you see that look, John?
Yeah.
So speak to that.
What was that look? Well, I mean, they've played this for a lot. I mean, we know that Walter Jr. has... He looks up to Hank because of his... not only who he is as a person, but he's a law enforcement officer and his abilities and his accolades and all that other stuff. And he just doesn't see his dad the same way.
Oh.
His dad is just, you know, he's a humble
science
teacher.
In the past, when he got in trouble for buying alcohol underage, he called Dean.
Yeah.
He called Hank. He didn't call his dad.
Yeah.
He changed his name from Walter Jr. to Flynn. He didn't want to be named after his dad anymore. He's constantly rubbing in his father's face.
But here's the thing. It's not a conscious thing. I don't think he's consciously saying, I don't want to be my dad or anything.
I think he
loves his dad, but he looks up to Hank.
He looks up to Hank.
And so Hank gets more respect. I just saved all your assets, including your hero uncle, and I'm getting no respect over here.
That's nothing. So there's there's no celebration, you know, again.
Yeah.
And so that speaks to your point, Kristen, about him ending up alone.
Yeah.
Because, it's...
First of all, he can't share what he's done, so they can't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because and by the time he does and they realize all the stuff he's done, it'll be past the point.
Oh, I would have given him a high five.
Well,
what he pulled off?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
You put my life in danger with the Mexican cartel. High five.
Exactly.
But
back up now. See, you guys all have like rewritten things in your brain. Like Jesse was a junkie who got him in tons of trouble. Like they're in the mess because of Jesse. The wife has an affair. Goes and gives away all their money. I mean, like,
but
you
I
know,
mean, she did that in retaliation for what Walt did.
What did he do? So it's right that he.
What did he do?
He
crystal meth.
Yeah.
So you go have an affair on somebody?
I mean, what would,
and now, by the way, and this is the one giving it, but this is the lady that's on eBay buying stuff during his birthday and giving him a hand job under the pillows as she's bidding on items.
Yes.
Right. So, okay, whatever.
I mean, she doesn't have an identity. Skylar does.
I think the point he's making, and I agree with his point, is that there's no one who's blameless here. It's not like Walt didn't do anything.
It's not like Walt didn't start it all. But
his point is that which I disagree with, is that there, everyone, it's because Walt is driving this, everyone forgets that Jesse, if you go back in time, it seems like he would have had a good working relationship with Gus. They had dinner together. We're very much alike, Walt said. It was Jesse being a junkie at the time and him having to save Jesse, you know, so it's like, and now this late in the game, everyone's thinking it's like, oh, he poisoned Jesse's kid or whatever. But
you can also make the argument Jesse wouldn't be in his life if he didn't want him to cook meth.
Yeah.
He never would have sought out Jesse.
You can trace it all back to Walt.
But Jesse was also doing that anyway.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, not but in his own been house, in Walt's though.
Not life. On this level, but he would have. But he was already doing it.
Let me progress the conversation a little bit. Is his only person that he can spill his beans to, so to say, Saul,
yeah. Well,
is that the only person he can 100% be honest with at the moment?
No,
right now?
No, not even 100%, because he can't trust Saul with everything either.
No,
but he already realizes. Well, look, Saul's going to go behind my back with Sky,
and give him all my money,
so I can't trust him. But there is no one he can trust. If you're in this business, I don't think there's anyone you can trust 100%. Gus certainly couldn't.
Nope.
And who was better at this than Gus?
And even Mike, remember with Mike and Gus, you know, he said, you got to tell me this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, oh, but I understand, you know, he was humble with him because, you know, I understand that this stuff has to be.
Do you have questions? But I'm smart enough not to ask.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much.
And, you know,
encyclopedic memory.
Speaking of that scene with Walt, you know, with Saul, Saul's all dressed in black for their meeting. And it was that moment when he stood up and walked over to him.
Right.
That it hit me, going back to the act of God. It was an act of God. And just in that moment, mm-hmm. you know, that's when I got, there was no indication other than just an intuition on my part, but when he got in his face, I said, oh my goodness, he thinks he's God.
Yeah, I think he's getting a God complex.
And that's why he says, I forgive you.
Yeah.
To
and also, that's why he said in the car with Jesse and Mike, Because I say so. He's getting this God complex.
And so you see him work down Saul, but let's talk about Mike and him because Mike pulls out the gun and you know, for this confrontation and I'm saying,
by the way, that shot with the cars coming at each other, the
unreal.
Chicken shot.
I don't want to cut you guys short, but I do need to let you know it is 8:55. Just keep that in mind.
Okay.
All
right, we gotta hurry up. All right, we gotta finish this so we can get to our special segment. So.
Well, I just when Mike pulled the gun on him, I'm like, all right, I'm you know, I'm a huge Walt fan.
Sure.
And I'm really sick of Walt just being bullied by Mike.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't wait till he turns it around. Yeah. And I love the progression.
Yeah.
Especially when the magnet's
being
built.
Again, they're taking their time with that.
When the magnet's being built, you see Mike's face being like, he's the son of a bitch. Like, he really, he's a lot smarter than I thought. It's not just that he's lucky and sleazy. I think he just thinks he's a sleazebag.
Yeah. And he's been lucky. I think Mike feels he's been lucky.
But now he sees that. He's like, wait a second. And and when they're driving out, that last shot after they pull it off, and he's in command because I say so.
Yeah.
He said, no, this is exactly, everything's gone. The fingerprints of this, that, the totally gangster, total God.
That's right.
Completely
and complete
in
control. Yes.
Complete control. Yeah. Mike, you're not the boss, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you might be the tough guy.
And if he only knew.
But, right. I feel into what?
The whole Lily La Valley and all the other stuff.
Will Jesse ever find all that out?
Oh, well,
oh my goodness.
Point, yeah.
And what about, and the fact that Walt watched his girlfriend choke to death?
Yeah, exactly.
He caused her to die, actually, because when he was trying to wake up Jesse, he flipped Jane over onto her stomach or onto her back where she could puke, but she was laying in the recovery mode.
Another pleasant memory.
The original cut for that, Walt actually pushed
stopped
her, over.
Her.
Like, no, yeah. he
turned her over.
He actually, like, physically did it in the original one.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he actually caused it, but
that's
too much.
Way too
soon. And too extreme.
So they pulled back from that.
Yeah, too soon.
And that's what I think is one of the smartest things they do is they keep pulling back. So just like you were saying, the arc between Mike and Walt and that have that change. Of that they always take their time with those things, which always way
such
more
a
fast.
Great progression.
Such great they restraint. Did shades of gray before they went black.
Always.
And I'm just I'm so excited about Walt Reist Power. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah.
I've waited five seasons for this. I'm so
really relieved.
I'm ecstatic. Oh my goodness! I'm so happy. I'm just it's getting better and better.
It was, we were talking about before we watched the show. We were talking about how much we enjoyed his last line from last season, which was "I won."
Yep.
So now he's just hopefully you're going to see more winning from him.
I think we're going to see a lot more.
And how about the winning with the? I know we got to move on to something. But how about the winning of the magnet? Come on, keep coming up with all that.
And by the way,
Jesse's idea.
That's why they're a great team.
Yeah. And I just love the way they ever shot these two guys arguing in the foreground, this guy in the background. Guys, you know about the magnet.
All in one shot, John.
All in one shot.
What was interesting about that, though, is they never actually tested any of their other plans before this one.
Yeah.
They
why?
Never
it's a
did.
Great plan.
They just went in. He always just did the configurations in his head, though. I mean, they never actually tested.
No, they
the
tested
plan.
The bombs and stuff at that. Remember, he was testing that just the end of last season. He was testing the bomb in his apartment.
Yeah.
Did he test the bomb?
Yeah, that's good. Game of Thrones is a good show, too. hey, a shout-out to Larry Hankin, character actor,
absolutely.
Playing the junk man.
He's great.
Home Alone, Escape from Alcatraz. Just I love him.
Wonderful character actor. You've seen him in a million things, and he's always good.
And by the way, the comedy in the show, which is a genius. Just, the two fat guys high-fiving.
Kind of, exactly.
When the
how about Hank, Mike's line? Hey, it's a universal symbol for keys.
That's
just what's such droll delivery and just hysterical.
And he says, you know how they say it's been a pleasure? It hasn't.
Great.
Thank God. So glad to have them back.
Yeah, they're great together.
Oh, man.
And how great, again, is the cinematography of the evidence room and the magnet. You know, first we see the paperclip shape.
Yeah.
Then we see the bike little roll with the.
And then the lamp pulls and all of that.
This
really
show is so much about suspense.
Yeah.
I mean, they always do the fading into the what they're finally getting into.
Well, not to cut you off, but
we
I don't want to be rude
on.
To Stu.
We don't. Okay,
Stu
so let's go to our commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll have a special segment with
Stuart
Lyons,
the producer
of Breaking Bad.
That's it.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
All right, and we're back. All right, so our executive producer extraordinary set this up with Stuart Lyons.
Well, for those of you who remember season four, we had Stu on at the end for the face-off episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ben's working on calling Stu right now, and I'm going to say this about Stu before we begin, because Stu's a very humble guy, and so he's going to blush when I say this.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He has so many roles on this show.
Yeah. And by the way, he's been there from the beginning.
He's been there from the beginning. He knows Vince.
Hello.
Hello,
hey,
Stu.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hello,
good to talk to you again. This is John Comerford, Phil Svitek, Kevin Undergaro, and Kristen Snyder. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, first off, we apologize for calling late, but so glad to have you,
no
Stu.
No problem.
So we were discussing tonight's episode and kind of wanted your input on I guess, this whole process. Like, I mean, Stu, what have you done this season? And I know you do so many aspects of the show, but I don't know, John. Ask some questions. Why am I on the spot?
Oh my God!
just give me a second. It's a bad connection. Let me see if I can improve it.
Okay, no problem.
And then we'll work on some
questions.
I have some questions.
Great. All right. So, how you doing, Stuart? Can you hear us? All right, he's still working on that. All right. Well, by the way, for our listeners, we had Stuart in, and he came into the studio. There he is. Okay,
all right.
Great. So you guys have wrapped your this particular 8-season already, right? You've already finished the whole season shooting. Is that correct?
I'm barely able to hear you on the speakerphone. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Let's see if we can do anything on our end.
Is there a better connection you guys can make on that end?
All right, we're going to work on that right now, too. How is this going? Is this sounding any better for you?
It just sounds like you're at the end of a hallway. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to do our best. We'll just muddle
that's
through.
That's better.
Okay. That's better for him. All right, so everybody, let's get really close to our mic so that this will help Stu a lot. So, Stu, you guys have already wrapped this eight-episode season, correct?
Is there a number I can call you in at? This is going to be too frustrating.
No, okay. Ben, you try talking to him because I think for Ben, go ahead and repeat the question.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, that I can hear.
You can hear me.
All right, Ben, ask the question.
Have you guys finished shooting this eight-episode season?
Yes, we have. We finished shooting about 3 weeks ago. And as a matter of fact, I'm about to head back. I came home after Comic-Con, and I'm heading out tomorrow. And by Wednesday, I'll be driving back. So it'll be all put to bed until we return for the second set of eight. And we'll start shooting that sometime in early December.
Early? Wow.
Wow. We can't wait.
No.
Neither can we.
Stu, there's...
None of us know how it's going to end, so we can't wait to be on this final eight-episode journey.
So is this really going to be final eight episodes? Or because there's kind of rumors that there might be more.
No, I think this is it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
From what I've
heard. I mean, nothing's impossible, but the full intention was that this would finish it all up.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yes. Okay. One second.
We're just switching out mics.
Right, we're going to switch out really quick.
Kristen Snyder's going to ask you a few questions, and
Kristen
she's going to be on.
Kristen going to get on. She's got a few questions for you.
Sure.
All right. Here you go.
We apologize for the reshuffling of headphones.
Hello, Stuart. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
So I know you love to watch the seasons and the episodes with your family because you don't tell them anything, correct?
Correct.
So did you watch this episode with them yet?
I've watched this episode with my wife now twice before the broadcast, and the reason is that it was screened. We had a party for all of our crew and cast in New Mexico, and we screened this episode. So that was the first time she had seen it. And then at Comic-Con, they screened it last night at a downtown movie theater. So we saw it on a huge screen with a perfect sound system and a full theater. And that was with the cast and a lot of Sony AMC celebrities and even some military personnel to fill out the theater. And that was a great audience.
Yeah. Talk about that. This is the first time Breaking Bad has been at Comic-Con. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And talk about that. I mean, they were rabid, weren't they? I would imagine they would have been.
How did they receive you?
They loved it. We had a panel on Friday in which the cast and Vince answered questions, and that was in a hall that held, I was told, 4,800 people, and they turned away people.
Oh, my God.
And we got a couple of standing ovations. And I was told that it was so unusual because it was at the end of the day. People tend to be burned out, but the reception we got was insane. It was just terrific.
How do you keep the secrets of the season out of the public eye?
It's a bit of work. I mean, every document that is produced by the writers, if you get one, it's watermarked. So if you lose it, we know who screwed up.
Ow!
And it's also this. I mean, we all know, those of us who are working on the show, that we're trying to make this a great experience for millions of people.
Yeah.
And to tell anyone what the secrets are would be to undermine the work of everybody there and to really deprive people of what would be a fantastic experience. There are great twists in almost every episode, great plot points, and we just don't want those revealed, and everybody treats this very seriously. So we've been very lucky so far. There have been a few leaks, but people are vigilant. They get posted. They get taken down. And we're just crossing our fingers that in this last eight, you know, building to what will be obviously the greatest surprise for all of us, that we can hold on to the secret.
Now, you really don't know how this is going to end? I mean, because you have to be, I mean, you obviously get the script well ahead of the performers, etc. So you really don't know yet exactly how it's going to go.
No, I do not. Wow. I do not know.
Okay.
And not only do I not know, I know that the cast doesn't know
as
well.
Yeah, clearly, yeah.
So there's no possibility that it'll go beyond this, the eight that'll be next summer.
I'm in show business. It's always a possibility. But I'm not counting on it.
Good
answer. I think we will finish filming this show in March of 2013. It'll be on the air in July of 2013 for the back eight, and that I believe will complete the Walter White story.
Stu, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Is now Michael Slavin, your past cinematographer, is he going to be directing a lot of more episodes now?
Is who?
Is Michael Slavin, the former cinematographer, is he going to be directing more episodes?
Personally, he's got a number of directing assignments lined up. He will be doing another Breaking Bad episode in the back eight as well.
Okay, that's good to know.
And Stu, how has your budget increased from from last season to this season?
I'm sorry.
Your budget increased from last season to this season?
You know, we're given a very healthy budget to cover Vince's vision, and that vision has gotten bigger as the story has gotten bigger. So far, we haven't not done something for budgetary reasons. So, I think we're being given enough paint to really tell the story, to paint this picture, and it's been a big support issue for Sony, and I think they've stepped up to the plate really well.
Now, I know you can't give out any spoilers or anything like that, but I'm just curious because, you know, when you read these scripts, I'm sure you're going, okay, how are we going to shoot that, or this is going to be interesting. Has there been surprises where you thought something was going to go one way and it went completely a different way, but surprised you so much that anything like that happened for you that you can actually share?
Have I been surprised by the scripts or been surprised by what we've done after a script has come out?
After a script has come out. I'm sure sometimes you're surprised by the scripts, but after it's come out, when you have to put it all together, have you been surprised by the end result?
In terms of story or budget?
Both. Anything you can speak to without giving away story.
I think that there is a challenge to doing Breaking Bad in the fact that we are not a show that follows a pattern. So every story, every episode has its own challenges and may not relate to other episodes, coming up. Certainly... I don't want to go into what's coming up this season.
Right.
There's some really amazing episodes, and they're huge. I mean,
like what,
really
Stu?
Oh, like when Walter dies. That has not happened.
Okay.
But, for example, last 2 years ago, we did an episode that Bryan Cranston directed.
Right.
With people crawling through a Mexican village. Well, it turns out in New Mexico, they have new Mexican villages, and they look really different than old Mexican villages. And we wound up having to essentially create one, not quite from scratch, because we found some ruins, but it was further out and much more complicated to deal with than we thought. So that's the kind of surprises we get. We've had surprises with weather. New Mexico, people think of it as being like Nevada or Arizona, but the temperature there can vary. Our coldest day last season, not not the one, the set of eight we just finished, but the ones last year for that 13, we had a day of minus 40 wind chill, and then we had a day of 100 and like 7 or 8. Well, that's 100 and...
How do you get the cameras working?
Like 145 degree weather shift, and
that
was in the space of 4 months. So there are a lot of challenges to doing the show in the environment that we're doing it, and sometimes they do catch us by surprise, but that's what we're paid to anticipate, too.
Okay. What do you got?
I have one more question for you, Stu. I know you guys are exploring uncharted territory here, and a lot of questions might go unanswered. But considering the status of this character, Jane's father, Donald, who we last heard after he accidentally made two planes collide over Albuquerque, he tried to commit suicide. It was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was sent to the hospital, but we never heard his status of whether he survived or not, and I feel like maybe he should be coming back for revenge, because he did talk to Walter in the bar.
I don't know that he made the connection that Walter was the one knowing his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen him at this point. Vince was asked some questions, a similar question with some other characters, and at Comic-Con. And basically he said, you know, we do try and tie up every loose end.
Okay.
Every action has a reaction. Every act has its consequences. And,
well, and speaking...
So, without, you know, giving away any secrets or giving you false promises, that's certainly his intention, is that the story should have a sense of completeness when it's finished.
So speaking to that...
Whether we're going to see Jane's dad or not, we don't know. We you know, there are so many great mysteries that are hanging out there. Obviously, the biggest one is Hank and his investigation.
Yeah.
And where is that going to lead?
Yeah.
Tonight's episode, you saw a little bit of that restarting. There's certainly the whole issue of when does Aaron Paul's character, Jesse, figure out how much he has, in fact, been manipulated.
Yeah.
And what will that turn into?
So,
I don't have the answers for that.
But you you can speak to that.
Those are great open-ended questions.
But can you speak to that? They may be asked and resolved somehow? Not that you can give us specifics?
I'm sorry. You're too far away from the phone.
Can you say that some of these plots will be resolved, or will we be left with lots of questions after the 16 episodes?
I think it's Vince's intention to basically close the book and resolve as much as humanly possible in the 16 episodes that you're going to be seeing over the next year and a half.
Okay. We read somewhere that a new female character will be introduced that has a close connection to Gus. Is that true?
Yes.
What can we expect from that storyline?
Well, I mean, we all want to be... I mean, Breaking Bad is great drama.
Yeah.
And Gus was a terrific opponent for Walter White. And he's gone. There needs to be another opponent. And that relationship has to get going from zero, because that person's not on the scene in terms of the episode that people saw tonight. That person's presence and reason for being there and threat to Walter White will need to be started very, very quickly. Because, in essence, it was almost as if we could have ended the show at the end of last year. I mean, we've destroyed the bad guy. The lab is gone. The villains are gone. All of the wonderful story that took essentially 2 years to tell that arc, that had disappeared. So it needs to be replaced with something, and that thing needs to be
different than things we've seen before. Look at the villains that we've had. We went from Tuco, who was completely out of control and homicidal, to Gus, who was completely in control and homicidal. Vince is not going to be repeating any beats. So who is this new villain going to be, and how is that person going to act is going to be a lot of fun to discover.
Okay.
I think the antagonist, whether it be a movie or a show, is what makes the show so great. I mean, not just the protagonist, but the antagonist has to be just as character developed as well for it to be successful. So I'm really excited that it'll be a female this time instead of a male. And I just want to thank you, Stu, for calling in. We hope to talk to you again. Really appreciate your time.
Sure.
Take care.
Thanks, Stu.
Thank you for
everything.
What did you guys think of tonight?
Oh, we thought it was amazing.
We have lots of questions. It was amazing, and we can't wait for the journey ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. Please stay tuned.
We will.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Publicly thanking Stu so much for taking time out to talk to us. We'll get our technical things handled next time we get him in here. But appreciate his time, and so gracious and knowledgeable, and really giving good information. I know he's limited on what he can say, but the fact that he's willing to come out here and give us a shot.
It was brave. I mean, a couple of times I would have said, well, you'll have to find out.
Exactly,
but
he actually gave us something, which is nice. So I appreciate that so much. Where are we going now?
And I think as the season goes on, we'll hear from him more.
Yeah, we will.
As well as the other stars,
I think he'll be, as the season progresses, he'll be able to talk more about things that we have already seen because, being the premiere, he can't say much about anything. So, all right, that's going to take us into our predictions. So let's do our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
No news.
For those of you who can't or can hear us because we're whispering, because of time restraints,
we're
not
going to go
news.
Straight to predictions. We're going to skip news this week.
But there's a great article in the Hollywood Reporter.
Yes.
There's a little tidbit.
Okay.
Check that out.
Yes, it's a good article. Fans, just read it. We don't have time to go into it now, but we'll maybe talk about it next week then. Predictions. So what do we have here?
Because we come up so fast, weren't able to see the previews from next week because they built them into their new reality show.
Yeah, so
they go to Germany. Hey, there you go.
Yeah. Next episode, they go to Germany.
Yeah, that's what Ben said. Two. Apparently, they're on to the... So I guess we're going to be...
That's not what I said.
That's not what he said. He said this season.
Somewhere in the season. So, here's the thing I'm most interested in, and it's the thing that they keep touching on just about every episode now, is how Hank's progression into this... Because he's so astute. Everybody else in the DE thought he was nuts when he came in with the idea of who Dosa. By the way, I know we didn't talk about this, but the first time we see Mike, we feeding the chickens. Remember that?
That's great.
Call back to Dos Hermanos, Pollo, whatever.
From the ground level.
Hermanos.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, John.
Pollo, whatever it is.
And what he's saying to them is enough for everybody. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, all that stuff. Anyway.
But that means a lot, though. I'm glad you brought that up, John. It's so symbolic because of the restaurant. They're in Mexico, the grassroots, and he's saying there's enough for everybody. Yeah. And that means, he seems like he's much calmer. He would have been the one to say, it's enough for you, Walt. There's enough for you, Gus. Enough for you, Jesse. We can work this out.
And because he's been there, and he hasn't had Walt's progression.
And who knows if he's speaking to the future antagonist.
Exactly.
Like, this doesn't have to go to, a huge war between cartels.
Yeah.
There's
which is the way the mob used to do it. There's enough for everybody.
Right.
We can get everybody's beaks wet.
Well, especially him who really understands the game.
Yeah.
And doesn't get
emotional.
That's
what I mean. He's been there. He's been through this. It's not his first rodeo. Whereas Walt, no.
So it's a great scene, and it was great to the juxtaposition of Flash to that from where they were.
Exactly.
I'm glad you brought that up.
So I'm just really excited about how Hank, he's back in action, and what he's going to pick up on next.
Okay, my prediction for next week is actually not so much Hank, because now the slate is clean with Hank. The evidence is gone.
But
I think it's more about Walt settling into his position of power.
Yes.
Okay, that's next episode. I think it's Walt is now in power. Then I think you'll see a tease hopefully you'll see a tease of the new antagonist. If you don't, you'll see the next episode. But I think next episode is going to be, this is now Walt in power. This episode, he's putting out the last bit of the fires.
Right.
And this is going
to be his rise.
We're going to see the new world order.
Right.
That's what I think.
But, see, the reason why I'm talking about the Hank thing is because he didn't get that computer and what's on that hard drive, I think that's going to compel him even more.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we have new evidence.
Yeah.
Or... I mean, they literally stayed on the photograph.
Yeah, the evidence, the bank accounts. Right. And so they're going to trace the money or whatever it is. Yeah. So he's got something else.
To Goose, what's interesting, though, it's going to chase that to Gus, which is great, which is to maybe to this lady
to the
that Stu was
talking
about. But it's, again, away from Walt, which is just genius.
Yeah, exactly. To keep that thing going.
So that's why I think next episode's more about Walt.
Yeah, it's
got
to be his rise to
power.
Because the whole season, according to Vince, is all about how does he stay on top and, you know. We got to see Heisenberg rise to power. Okay, anything else for anybody?
That's it?
That's it?
Yep.
All right. Well, it's been very full. Thank you for hanging out for so long for us. Again, Breaking Bad Season 5, the premiere episode. We'll be here next week. So on behalf of Ben Janier, Kristen Snyder, Bill Spitek, and Kevin Undergo, I'm John Comfort. Hey, thank you so much.
And let
for
me
listening.
Say one last thing. Please keep tuning in and looking at our website and listening to our tweets and reading our tweets for all the guest stars we are going to have when we're going to have them.
That's right. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.